Probably just like the whole team, we lost a game. So there's no consolation prizes in handling injuries. Injuries are a part of the game. We have multidimensional players that can go in and fill different positions. We had to make it through. That's our job. So I don't want to give any gold stars for doing what our job is.
Focusing specifically on Corey Graham and Douglas, who obviously stepped in and the club going out. How do you think they play and going forward? What do you think of them?
We have confidence in both of those guys. I'm not going to get up and give you the pluses and minuses of every player. I'll leave that. I said that last year. I'll leave that to Pro Football Focus to determine. But, it was the first experience for Russell. It was not the first experience for Corey. Corey's been around the block, and Russell stepped in, and, I thought he did a good job. He tackled well. Made no mental mistakes. And that's a tough duty against what they do offensively, from read option, the reverses, the shovel passes, the jet sweeps, to, all the different stuff. And it's a lot of moving parts. I was proud of them for that part of it.
Jim, when a situation like that arises and you lose a couple of important guys, are there experiences that you can immediately draw on as a coach, similar situations that you can kind of instantaneously go back to and say, hey, when that happened years ago, you did this?
I think every team's different. Every opponent's different. We had a preseason game against the Jets that we had a lot of corners playing safety. I mean, you guys probably get tired of hearing me talk about multidimensional players, but that's part of it. We even had a linebacker getting ready to go in and play safety if he needed to. And we have a couple of guys on our roster that have the ability to do that. That's just life in the NFL. And I think every situation is different. Your opponent's different. The game situation is different. So I don't know if there's anything that you draw back and do. But we've seen wide receivers, New England Patriots, Troy Brown played nickel. I had a wide receiver play nickel for me when I was in Detroit. It's not unusual in the NFL. There's only 46 active. And if you get a couple guys injured, I don't know when the last time it's happened here, but when you keep seven offensive linemen active, you're going to see a tight end at offensive line if you get more than two injuries on the offensive line. It's just built into the business.
What are you talking about, Adam? He's going to essentially play safety.
He's a guy that could do it. And we were gassing him up on the sideline, getting him ready to potentially do that. And that's one of the things, Nate Gary's on the practice squad, but that's another guy that could potentially do things like that. And they're the guys that probably wouldn't go into a game starting, but being able to get you out of the game. It's the same thing with defensive line. We have different linebackers that could go rush the edge if they needed to. It's just part of your job as a coach. It's part of your job as a player to be ready. Everybody's used to dealing with one injury in a game. But when you start getting two or even three at a position, and like us having three in 2 weeks at a position, it taxes you a little bit more. But, it's part of the business.
What happened on the Green Hunt touchdown?
We gave up a 53-yard touchdown. 53 or 54? 53, yeah.
A gap that was left open, was that second or?
Yeah, there's a lot of things. Every play, there's plays that everybody can play a little bit better. I think I'll just leave it with we didn't play that play well enough. And there's ways that you can cover up. If a defensive lineman's out of his gap, a linebacker can cover him up. If a linebacker misses something, a safety can cover him up. If a safety misses something, a corner can cover him up. And one of the great things about football is it's such a team game. And it is very rare that anything on the field is one person's sole responsibility or sole fault when it comes to a defensive play. There's so many layers to your defense and players that can cover it up. If a corner falls down or, gives up a completion down the field, you could say, yeah, well, that guy was at fault. But I would even counter that and say, well, maybe if our pass rush was a little better and somebody hit that guy when he's throwing, maybe that helped it out. So, we're a team defense. We take things on ourselves as a defense. And, the guys have said it before, but, no excuses, no explanations. We gave up a touchdown on the play. It's our job to, get them stopped right there, and we didn't get that job done. We all take that very seriously, not just, an individual person.
Jim,
Did you end up the way you wanted on that? Was that what you wanted there?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into all the little, you know, ins and outs of every single thing, because then all of a sudden it just turns into dissecting every single play and, you know, assigning blame. You know, you want to assign blame, we just assign it to the whole defense, and I'm part of that.
You had hips long standing up a lot Sunday. Is that game specific, or I mean, what's the benefit there of having him?
It really depends. I mean, with some of the perimeter plays, it helps him see. Some of the balls were coming out quick. It helps him see a little bit more. Brandon Graham has done the same thing. You know, last year we had different players that stood up at different times. Some of it goes into an individual responsibility, and some of it goes into something an opponent's doing. I mean, that's as far as I'd take my explanation for that.
As far as tackling goes, if you go back to 2011, under the last CBA as opposed to now, do you think it's more difficult to get these guys prepared, especially early in the season, as far as lack of practice time, less practice time?
I wouldn't take that cop out. I mean, you know, even though we don't tackle live in practice, we do enough tackling drills, and then tackling is mostly about leverage and running to your leverage and knowing where your help is. I think we had 7 plays that we had missed tackles, and some of those 7, we had multiple missed tackles. I don't consider a missed tackle if you know, let's say a guy's running inside out and a guy's running outside in, and the inside out guy misses and the outside guy in is right there to clean it up. That's just playing fast, and that's playing with leverage. But if the inside guy out gets too far out and it cuts back and it gains extra yards, then it becomes a problem, and then it becomes missed tackle. And I think most of those come to leverage. I think you also have to give a little bit credit to the opponents there. I mean, there's some big-time skill players and some guys that can make some plays. And we got to play team defense there and get guys cleaned up and get guys tackled. We can do a better job of that.
What have you seen from Tim Jernigan through the first 2 weeks?
You know, a lot of same things we've said all along. You know, he's done good in the run game. He's been a factor in the pass game, and he plays tough. He's a physical player. I like the temperament he plays with on the field also.
One more on Rasul. The physical aspect of his game that we saw on Sunday, is that something you had seen through the preseason, tackling?
Yeah, I mean, we saw it last year at West Virginia. I mean, that was one of the reasons we liked him. He was a tough physical player, and he has good size. And, you know, the way we played that game plan, we played off an awful lot against their receivers. It seemed like every time we did get close to him, you know, we had a ball go over our head. So we had a very concerted effort to keep him in front. That only works if you make tackles. And I thought that Rasul, Jalen Mills, Jalen Watkins, when he was in the game, you know, I think that those guys did a good job of getting those things tackled. We can go play a 2nd-and-3. It's hard when it's a 40-yard chunk or 50-yard chunk, and it's either a touchdown or the ball's in the red zone. So, like I said, it only works if you're making those tackles. I'd say this, Rasul played with good anticipation on those. He didn't cheat. He didn't, you know, run down and guess. He played good technique, and I was happy to see that.
He's had varying degrees of success against Odell Beckham.
I think that's very common.
Yeah, yeah, we're 1-1 at least, so I guess that's varying.
You're obviously not 100%. How do you prepare not knowing whether he's going to be?
Well, I put it this way. We have to expect him to be 100%. If we expect anything less, we're in the wrong business because he has a full week to prepare. He obviously was well enough that they played him for 33 plays, I think it was. He's another week away from that. Another week ahead of his rehab and things like that. So we'll have to be ready for 13, and we're going to have to be ready for him being the same guy we remember from last year, and that he's a very difficult player to handle, and their offense has missed him the first couple weeks. It's our job to keep him from being a factor. Well, not he's going to be a factor, but keep him from being a game-changing factor. And we're going. It's going to take good team defense to do it. It's not going to be one guy that'll do it.
What do you recall about how Darby fared against him in that 2015 matchup? Reviewing the film, was that part of what made you excited about?
Yeah, we did. We did look at that. You know, but you know, every get a little bit back to like experience with things in the past. Everything is so different. Coverage schemes are different. Offensive schemes are different. Matchups in pass rush are different. You know, I think that, you know, I think that'll go widely reported this week that it's an important matchup, our defensive line against their offensive line. Well, that only comes into play if we can make the quarterback hold the ball. You know, if he's running it or throwing quick, you know, that defensive line can get neutralized. If we can cover all their wide receivers, their tight ends, I mean, that rookie tight ends looks like he's going to be, you know, one of the same kind of guys that we're used to playing, Travis Kelce or Jordan Reed, you know, that kind of guy. And they're getting him more involved in the offense. So it's not just about stopping one guy. It's about you know, playing good team defense. And if we do that, we'll be able to exploit some of our, you know, some of our better matchups in the game.
You're going to face an offensive line that has struggled to protect their quarterback. Do you have to – obviously your defensive ends are going to have the opportunity, but do you have to kind of make sure that they don't try to make too much happen?
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes back to talking about Russell and playing those plays in front. I mean, you still have to be disciplined. You still have to read your keys, and you still have to be able to execute. And, you know, just because they haven't been very successful in the first 2 weeks running the ball doesn't mean they're not going to come out in this game and try to run the ball. So we have to play good technique there. You know, play action pass, quick passes, max protect, chip. You know, there's a lot of things that can go into, you know, layering the pass rush. And, you know, down in distance and score means an awful lot to it, too. You know, you rush a lot different when it's third and two than you do on third down and 11. And pin your ears back a little bit on third and 11. Third and two, you got to play everything. So, you know, I think that it's not just an important matchup, our D-line against their O-line, but it's everybody else's ability to, you know, to be able to set that matchup up. I guess that's the way to say it.
You only blitz 7 or 8 times in the 2 games against them last year. Is that more because of Eli's ability to defend, to go up against the blitz, or the confidence in your line? Or?
Well, there's a lot. I don't want to get too much into specifics, but last year in particular, he was calling just about everything at the line of scrimmage, and it was a spread set, a lot of 3 wide receiver sets, and, you know, in order for you to blitz, you got to declare. And, you know, he changed the play with 5 seconds left on the play clock. So, you know, that layers up and makes it a little bit more difficult to blitz or to blitz out of different looks. But, you know, sometimes you're not blitzing just to sack the quarterback. You're blitzing to get the ball out of his hand quick. And sometimes you feel like if you can cover, you can make him hold it a little bit longer and then maybe buy time for your pass rush to get home. I thought our pass rush in that second game last year had a good impact on that game. First game, too, but I think second game, you know, we had our hands full in coverage, and there was a couple key moments of that game that guys came through with big rushes, and it helped us be able to get the win. It helped us be able to get the interception that gave us the lead early in that game. You know, everybody looks at Malcolm intercepting that ball. That doesn't just happen on an island. It just doesn't happen by itself. It's a team game, and pass rush had a lot to do with that also.
As much as you talk about next man up, obviously Rodney Corey, different player. What changes when Courtney's out there?
He's an experienced player, just like Rodney. He's smart. You know, and we went into both games having a package where both of those guys would have been on the field at the same time. We obviously won't have that up if Rodney's not able to play. But, you know, I think, you know, both guys were corners in the past. There's a lot of similarities. You know, Corey's been around a little bit longer. But we have confidence in both of those guys being able to execute, you know, whatever we wanted, and we liked them both enough that we had package to be able to match up some of the offensive stuff with both of those guys on the field.
When you start going to a quick passing game to counter your pass rush and then nickel and dime you up the field, what's the defensive philosophy to counter that?
Well, there's a lot of different things. I mean, first is you got to keep those short passes from becoming long passes, and you got to, you know, somewhere along the line, if they're going 5 yards at a time, you know, there's something to knock them off, a knockdown pass, a forced holding penalty, you know, something. I mean, it's the quintessential bend but don't break thing. You know, so there's ways. I mean, you know, you can play tight coverage, and but that opens up a completely different can of worms. Yeah, it's so different. But that's one thing that, you know, Washington worked hard to try to do. You know, Kansas City was doing. You know, it's hard to throw quick every third down. You know, I think it's all last night. Sometimes you throw quick on third or fourth down, you can't make the sticks. you know, and that happened a couple times last night. So that can play into our hands as well, being able to limit. I mean, it's a well-known stat in the NFL of how much explosive plays correlate with winning. Explosive plays on offense and explosive plays allowed on defense. You know, that's a big thing. And if you can force teams to consistently drive, play good on third down, you got chances to, you know, get off the field. Can't give them anything for free. I was also, you know, I'm never pleased with a loss, but I continue to be encouraged by our discipline defensively. Again, two fouls, and you know, I don't know where we are in the league. I don't really judge other teams, but you know, we had two in the first game and two in this one, and you know, one was offset and the other one was 5 yards, so we allowed no first downs off of that, and I'm encouraged by that. We need to keep that going also.
Your second defensive line group did.
I thought they made an impact in the game. You know, I think that all those guys, you know, can step in and play. There was a play early in that game. We forced Alex to go out. It was sort of in a long drive, and he's an elusive guy. And we dropped a defense tackle in the coverage. It was Elijah Qualls, and did a great job. Number one, executing his coverage, and then was able to show a little bit of speed to keep the quarterback from getting a first down. You know, we talk about Chris Long getting a sack and having an impact in the game. Derek Barnett, Bo Allen, you know, all those guys are very important to us.
As a general rule, do you feel like you have any kind of advantage when you're going against a game where the play caller, McAdoo, is the offensive coordinator and the head coach? You are singularly focused on the defense. As a general rule, does that give you any kind of edge?
I don't like to think about it, to tell you the truth. I mean, we have our hands full with we're just trying to play the opponent that we're playing, whoever the play's calling from, whether it's the quarterback making the call, whether it's the offense coordinator, whether it's somebody in the booth on the sideline. You know, we can't control that. We just line up and play.